Welcome to the premiere episode of Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. And it's our first episode. We're so excited to finally debut the show. I am your quiz master and host, Karen, and along with me are our incredibly inquisitive and intelligent co-host contestants. We have...
I'm Colin.
I'm Chris.
I'm Dana.
Okay, what was something interesting you guys learned recently?
So just in this past week was the 50th anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points.
Sports boring.
Sports is boring, but this is like, you know, this is an achievement. This is one of the milestone sports records of all time. So what was interesting about this, so it was 100 points, like right on the nose. I love just the nice, even, round number. But what was really more interesting to me, so this was 1962, March 2nd. There's no TV footage of the game at all. There's no video footage of the game. And so there's the one iconic photo of Wilt holding up the sign with 100 scribbled on it. And just reading about some of these people who have false memories of, yeah, I remember seeing it on TV. And no, you didn't, because it wasn't on TV.
Just recently, I learned that in certain primitive societies, alligator dung was used as a natural contraceptive.
Oh, ew!
Yeah.
Wait, how does that work?
You put it anywhere.
And you just stay away.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
They put it on their faces? Is that what we
I think you. I think it, that doesn't even matter where you put it. You're not going to get pregnant. You're not going to have sex. No, apparently, I don't know, a spermicide? I'm not sure.
Well, ew.
Cement like up the lady part? I don't know. Like, I,
it doesn't seem right.
Well, it's naturally acidic.
I didn't say I learned everything about it.
Okay. This week, I learned that...
nothing. You learned nothing.
I learned nothing. I learned things every day, all the time. But I can't repeat them.
I'll give you a pass. alligator dung. Way to start the show. First of all, we want to thank all of our initial supporters and backers. This show started off as a Kickstarter initiative, and we had 100 people from all over the world help make this possible.
Woo! Thanks, guys.
Thank you, 100 people.
Amazing.
Yeah, we're not a big kind of idea or a big company, and it's just kind of amazing looking through all these people from like Hong Kong to Norway. We have a dude from Norway who helped support our show. So thank you all. And we'll be featuring some of these backers in this episode and subsequent episode shows as well. Awesome possum. All right, let's get the show on the road, starting off with our first segment, which is Pop Quiz Hot Shot. Right.
I'm operating on no sleep. I don't know why I agree to this.
Excuses.
I lost it in the sun.
Okay. So I'm picking. The name of the game is I'm choosing a random Trivial Pursuit card and see if y'all and our listeners can show off your braininess.
This is Genius Edition?
This is the Trivial Pursuit. I guess it's just the standard edition.
Regular? Okay.
Regular.
Star Wars edition.
Oh, God. Then that's not fair because you would win, Colin. All right. Geography, which is blue, right?
Yep.
Karen's topic.
That is my topic. In what country was President Barack Obama's father born?
Kenya.
You are correct.
We need some buzzers in here.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay. Pink wedge is culture. Who was the original host of The Daily Show?
Craig Kilborn.
Nice. You know,
I was about to say Carson Daly because his last name is Daly. Mm. But then, how my brain works. You'll find that.
And
out.
He's also used to being in other people's shadows. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, true.
I almost said Craig Ferguson. Craig I knew it was Kilborn. Craig somebody, yeah. And then it was Craig like Kilborn. Craig for Kilborn.
Quite a different show.
Yeah, amazing.
Really? I've
Not
actually never watched
there.
The...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It played it a lot more straight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like straight news?
No. It was fake news, but he didn't break. He didn't break the way that Jon Stewart would break.
It was fakier news, too. I feel like you can actually learn stuff from The Daily Show. Yeah.
Yeah, a little more in the spirit of, like, SNL.
Okay. Oh, God. This is a dumb question. Yellow Wedge. In what city did the first Starbucks open?
Oh,
Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
happened to Trivial Pursuit?
I know.
It's casual version.
What type of beverage does Starbucks serve?
A fire truck is what color?
A cheeseburger is a hamburger with what?
All right, we got Purple Wedge. What annual publishing phenomenon began humbly in 1964 as a feature on Skin Diving?
annual publish.
Oh, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Oh, correct. Oh, excellent. You are on a roll. Right.
I was thinking literary and not pictorial.
Right. Yes. No, I'm sorry. There is no annual publishing phenomenon that's actually literature. It's half naked.
It's boobs. Yeah. All boobs.
I was like NaNoWriMo, but that's not nothing to do with skin diving.
It's much better than the Newsweek swimsuit issue, but just for the record.
Yeah.
I cannot even imagine. Or New Yorker.
Ariana Huffington on the cover was not something that'll ever leave my head.
Okay, green, which is, I guess, science. Mm-hmm. Which is stronger, a Category 1 or a Category 5 hurricane?
Oh, 5.
Like, I want to say 5, and then at the same time, it's like but what
burns?
If I'm wrong?
Like, first-degree burns?
First-degree burns.
There's the burns, there's the tornadoes, there's the hurricane scales. I never remember.
We live in California. This is irrelevant.
It's like, what's worse, Homeland Security Orange or Homeland Security Taupe?
I'm gonna say 5 is the worst.
I'm going to say...
It seems like you'll have more of the lower levels.
I'm going to say 5 is the strongest, yeah.
Dana?
I'm going to be different. I'm a maverick. I'm going to say 1. The number 1.
Then you are a wrong maverick because it is Category 5.
You're a loose cannon.
I regret nothing.
Yeah, you're
turn
never
in
wrong.
Your badge.
Some of us were going to be right. Some would be wrong.
It's true. Yep.
All right. Whoa.
Take one for the team.
This is hard. Orange Wedge, last question. Name 6 of the 8 vegetables in the original V8.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what it stands for. Yes. V8 is vegetable 8.
Celery.
Today, probably. Karen learned what V8 stands for.
Celery.
Tomato. Got to be tomato.
Is that a vegetable or
celery,
fruit?
Tomato.
Celery, tomato, yes.
No. Yeah, tomato
fruit,
is in there.
Carrot.
Is it?
Yes.
Tomato is a fruit.
Yes.
Way,
okay.
Beet? I'm going to say beet.
Correct.
Yeah. Celery, tomato, carrot, beet.
Peppers, like green peppers?
No.
Sugar.
High fructose corn syrup.
Is that the new swear word?
My goodness.
Ketchup?
Ketchup and water?
Onions?
Grossness? No.
Onions? No.
Carrots?
What are we at so far?
Kale.
Ooh.
Spinach? Whoa. Spinach?
Spinach, correct.
Spinach. Okay, so what is it? Okay. Spinach, tomatoes,
three
celery.
More. They're
beets.
Green.
Mm. They're all
broccoli.
Green?
Yeah. The 3 left that you guys have not gotten.
Broccoli?
Are green. No.
Cabbage.
Close.
Brussels sprouts. Lima beans.
Oh,
I'm just going to list green vegetables. Peas.
No. What was close? Brussels sprouts? Cabbage. Was close? Or cabbage was close. Oh, it's some sort of like collard greens or, you know, something to that effect. Or Swiss chard. Or,
I'm going to list all
just
8.
Rutabagas.
Beets. Carrots. Celery. Lettuce.
Lettuce.
Parsley. Spinach. Tomatoes. And watercress.
I was going to say parsley, but I censored myself. I'm like, that's not a vegetable. Don't. Yeah, it's a garnish. That's an herb. A herb.
A herb.
Tomatoes, so you would actually have had to guess 6 of the 8 vegetables in order to get that slice?
I think you have to name, 6 of the 8. Yep. That's
nuts.
Way harder than where Starbucks.
Than Starbucks.
Yeah, I know. That seems markedly out of proportion.
Starbucks. Anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, so good job. Everybody seems like, Chris, you're the clear winner of this round. But
what's my prize?
Yeah.
Pride. And we also have 2 backer pop quiz questions. And the first one
These are from our Kickstarter backers.
Yes. And we're going to feature some of their questions. First
you
one
help
is...
help us make the show.
Yep. Jennifer Chu from Falls Church, Virginia. Her question is, and I'm reading this just the way they wrote it. Who is the first African to win an acting Oscar?
African.
Not African-American.
Oh, I know. I'm going to guess Charlize Theron.
You are correct. Oh.
She's from South Africa. Yeah.
I just went with the only one I could think of for sure.
So Jennifer Chu, she asked that question because she loves the Oscars.
No
and she says that she's not very interesting because I asked them to, you know, reveal something interesting about themselves. But actually, she is interesting because she is my sister, and if you're a super sleuth,
that makes you interesting.
You would find out that we share the same last name because, for she is my older sister.
It's nepotastic.
Nepotism. And our second question is from Ms. Kathleen Sanders from Bellevue, Washington.
Internet detectives may now begin researching the connection between Karen Chu and Kathleen Sanders.
You can. There is a connection. Her question is, in Blade Runner, Gaff presents Deckard with 3 pieces of origami. Name the 3.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's the crane, right? Or the swan.
The frog that you press on its butt and it jumps.
Yeah.
There's the unicorn. The unicorn's the big reveal, right?
And one more.
What, you said crane, swan, unicorn?
Oh, I didn't know if it was a crane or a swan.
I haven't seen the movie, but I'm going to guess the cootie catcher.
It's the little fortune teller. Yeah.
The answers that she wrote.
A replicant would like Jason.
This is embarrassing. Actually,
I am a robot.
You can tell if they're a replicant if they take it and they go 1, 2, 3. I am a robot.
I am. Who will you marry?
They fall for it every time. No.
If you ask who will you marry and they say the toaster,
they're a robot.
Her answers that she wrote is a chicken,
A
dude with a boner, and a unicorn.
Are those the answers? I need to watch this movie. That sounds good.
I believe it was a crane and a dude, but...
With the boner, though.
With the boner.
It might look like origami boner.
I want to see the directions in the script for that.
And Kathleen asked that question because she loves Blade Runner and unicorns and paper dudes with boners.
Yay.
So, yeah.
All right.
Fantastic.
And she is also the self-proclaimed world's foremost authority on unicorns and unicornery.
I believe it's Unicornalia.
Oh.
Are you challenging her?
Oh, snap.
Unicorn off.
Let's get down to business, our topic of the week, some booze business. And our topic of the week is all about alcohol, spirits, and libations.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good topic because we often do trivia in pubs.
That's
right? True. And they often ask questions about alcohol. So,
mm-hmm. Also, we like to drink.
We drink a lot.
We also consume it, yes.
Yeah.
What a fortunate coincidence.
Right.
I know alcohol.
So I want to start off by asking you guys what your favorite alcohol is. And is there like a particular reason or something interesting about it?
So, I mean, in terms of what I drink the most is probably beer, but that's kind of a boring answer. So my favorite liquor is gin. I know it's kind of an old man drink. I think that's one of the reasons I started drinking it. But to be quite honest, one of the reasons...
An old man or because you are
I liked sort of the crusty old man attitude that it presented. But to be really honest, I started drinking it in college because I liked Gibson's because you get the little onions on there. And it was like a way of getting a little snack in your drink. I was so cheap. It's the drink that comes with its own appetizer.
Oh.
That is very clever. Chris?
I thought about this because I appreciate everything from a fine French wine to Kool-Aid mixed with rubbing alcohol. You know, in the end, I do like the idea of being somewhat of a beer snob. I really do enjoy craft brews and micro brews and things like that. And I really fall on the stout and porter end. I like a nice dark malty rather than hoppy type.
And Dana?
I would say my cocktail of choice is whiskey ginger. I like it because it's, I feel like it's a little more grown up than a vodka cranberry. I think all my alcohol has to taste like soda, which is like,
right. So your primary requirement just goes down easy.
It needs to be sweet.
Smooth.
And takes me to where I'm trying to go.
my favorite drink of choice definitely is just whiskey. Just whiskey and some ice cubes. Awesome. I'm very easy to please.
And a shotgun.
Though I did find out something interesting. Because I know whiskey has itself, the whole family is kind of a large family.
Oh, yeah.
You have your rye and you have your single, double, you know, Irish, a lot of classifications. But I did learn that the body or the lightness or the heaviness of whiskey is determined by the size of the grain.
Mm.
Which appeals to my math nerd in me because mm-hmm. the smaller the grain surface to volume ratio is higher, and therefore I appreciate that.
Do you think about it while you're drinking it?
I do. I do now.
For the first drink.
Yeah.
Well, it's like sake
say it
too.
In third and fourth and thereafter.
I don't
surface
care.
Ratios.
but lately, I've also been playing this video game, Skyrim, Elder Scrolls Skyrim. And it has a medieval fantasy setting, and it's set in like kind of a Nordic-inspired area, and each town has their own meadery. They make their own mead for that town. And because of that, I don't know, it just kind of flipped a switch for me, and I jumped into homebrew. I read about all the stuff about making mead, making home wines and stuff. And I have three jars of mystery fermented things like in my kitchen. And like, I haven't opened it. It's been months. I'm kind of scared.
No, yeah.
But while I was doing all my research, I realized that in history of the human race, if something can be fermented into alcohol, they've tried it.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Everything. Okay. And it's kind of insane. Like gummy bears. Like people try to make gummy bear wine.
It sounds good. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm curious to try it.
Well, I would try that. Or, you know, they started making Skittlebrow after the Simpsons episode, which is Skittles mixed in beer. Homer came up with it, and someone actually produced that. I would try that, even though it sounds terrible.
Yeah, it does sound pretty awful.
It's insane. You know, we have our normal grains and fruit, and people kind of go a step further in different cultures. And one of the examples I found was it's in Mongolia, and it's called an arag or a kumis, and it's fermented mare's milk.
I thought you were going to say fermented mare's urine. And then
I was like, milk was we were like bracing it. Ourselves for something much worse than milk.
There's just not enough sugar in there. Yeah.
I'm sure someone tried it. Mule. I'm sure someone has tried it. And the other thing.
I'm glad it's a mare and not a stallion.
So wait, is it fizzy? The fermented milk? That's weird. Ooh. That's just strange. Although I guess it's like a phosphate, right, or something like that. It's kind of milky and fizzy, maybe.
It's described as it sparkles softly on the tongue, which is very romantic. Well, but I'm sure when you're drinking, you're like, oh my god.
Desperate times, dude. Yeah. Sometimes you want to get effed up, and all you have is a horse.
Speaking of which, especially in these like the colder areas, the Arctic Circle, so the Inuits make their own brand of alcohol from seagulls, from dead seagulls.
Oh.
Like the whole body?
The
or
whole body.
The whole thing.
So, well, I mean, they're limited to their kind of very cold environment, and they don't really have that much work with them. I mean, they eat blubber, for God's sake.
They don't grow
sake.
Grapes out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. Right, there's nothing growing.
Well, I think it's a lot more effort to harvest blubber than a dead seagull.
True. So, I mean, the recipe is easel. Very easel. Simple. Easel.
It's very eagle. Evil. It's very eagle.
It's an easy seagull.
Easy seagull. You basically stuff a dead seagull in a bottle with water.
Right.
Or melted snow.
You know,
right.
It would look nice in my living room.
And you just leave it out in the sun for a while and let it do its work.
Wow.
Some scientific jazz
in
a bottle.
And then when the mountains turn blue on the outside, you know it's ready, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So there has been reports of people actually trying seagull wine.
What
seagull
they
wine.
Makes seagull it, wine. Yeah, it really classes it up.
It takes flight on the tongue.
Oh, so
seagulling.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if the like difference, because some people ferment the seagull, catch the seagull when they're alive or dead. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the taste differential is between the two. Huh. So,
right.
Yeah, you're right, Chris. Sometimes people just need to be effed up. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as you say, I was doing a little bit of research on gin this week and came across a story about torpedo juice. Have you guys heard of torpedo juice?
That sounds not good at
well,
all.
Well, no, it
really
doesn't.
Sounds fun.
So torpedo juice is unfortunately almost literally what it sounds like, which is, you know, I guess in World War II, you'd be stationed, sailors, I suppose, would work with torpedoes.
Yeah.
They don't give the torpedoes to the guys in the planes. They don't work quite as well from the air. But no, they're powered by 180 proof grain alcohol, and in a pinch, you can make a drink based off of that. And you know, not again. You
that
talked about
that must be a very desperate pinch. Oh my goodness!
I think the bigger problem was that apparently it would leave sometimes things underpowered, so they would find torpedoes with no. I mean, it's
I've had 180 proof alcohol. I felt a little underpowered.
But I did find some recipes. Apparently, the most common recipe is two parts grain alcohol or torpedo fuel and three parts pineapple juice, which makes sense. It'd be nice and tropical. You'd probably be in a tropical setting.
It makes it go down easy.
Probably coconut milk might also be a
good Yeah, sure.
Thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little like umbrella.
Torpedo pina colada.
Mm-hmm.
Torpina colada.
Torpedo pina colada.
You're good.
I'm going to register torpedocolada.com right now.
Go fast.
Wait, so Colin, you did say gin is your favorite drink. Do you you don't just drink straight gin?
Not, you know, there are some of the some of these fancy you know, botanical infused gins now. I'm not going to do a plug for any of them, but they're quite tasty on their own. But no, I do gin and tonic, you know, or as I say, just a Gibson, because again, you get the little onions in there.
Do you actually know where how gin and tonic came to be?
I love it. Yeah, I mean, with the tonic from the quinine, right? I mean, it goes back to the British service working in the, you know, the malaria.
Oh, really?
The malaria infused parts of the world, right?
Yeah, because tonic water has a quinine.
Yes.
And quinine is a prophylactic for malaria.
Right.
So, which is very British for, like, well, we have to drink tonic or quinine, right. Yeah. And so, it tastes gross. Let's put some booze in it.
Yeah.
Enjoy the tropical sun. Hang out on the porch.
Very British.
It's just a quintessentially British liquor, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are all the stories about the Queen Mom and her love of gin that I came across, too. I don't mean to slander her here, but quite fond of the gin, the Queen Mom.
Loved it.
Okay.
Would often be found rolling down the street smoking on gin.
And the dew bonnet.
And quinine. Mm-hmm. Laid back.
My mind on
my
their mind
on
subjects.
Her crown and
malaria on my mind.
I also want to ask Dana. I know I've gone out with Dana, and I know you really like lambics, and I still don't know what it is. Like, I know it's like a fruity beer, or it's a Belgian. It's like from Belgium.
So the one I like is fruity, and I found out today actually that it's the cheap fake lambic, even though it comes in. I, you know what? I was disappointed, but then I'm like, you know what? I love it. It's delicious. It comes in a pretty bottle with a gold foil wrap on top.
It's new good. Beer for girls. Yeah, girls can drink beer. Beer tastes like
girls.
Peach now. Beer for girls.
I know. It tastes like delicious soda. Gives you a little bit of a hangover.
But then what is legit real lambic?
Yeah, what separates yours?
So I think mine was actually made in a factory with corn syrup. And then the real lambic, though, is like fermented in open tubs in a certain region, a very specific place in Belgium.
Sure.
You know, it makes sense for the price point, actually,
right,
now that
right.
I think about it. But it's not the fancy one.
And the monks don't say a prayer over the one that you had, right?
You know, this drink, I was comfortable with the idea that it was the Belgian one, and like the reason why they leave it open is so that like ambient bacteria and crap can go in it, and it like spontaneously ferments. Is how they
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa! But it tastes good with all the like
the funkiness,
the skin cells from the factory workers.
Epidermalicious.
But I found out though that it's probably like the one that I like is called lambic, but it might actually be made with brown ale and corn syrup. Tastes good. That's what
your first tip off should have been the straw stuck to the side of the bottle.
It's the Sex and the City beer.
Well, I also am very partial to fruity alcohol and fruity beers, and there's a cider, and well, I guess the pear version is Perry.
Perry. Okay.
Is the pear wine or pear alcohol, and cider or sizer is the apple. The apple.
So pear cider is a misnomer?
Yeah, I guess so.
I thought Perry was made by like certain breweries, like that was their cute name for it. No.
That's the
like
old-timey
Whiter's
British
pear.
Soda one
beer,
thing
yeah.
one thing about cider, and this is kind of a common fact or non-fact, which is Johnny Appleseed, of the American folk tale, I guess.
Right.
He's not real, is he?
No, yeah, he
was real.
What?
Yeah. I mean, or you know, it's more of a legend. It's more of a legend where there is a real guy, but I think his exploits have been
greatly exaggerated. But no, he was a real guy and related all that stuff. Yeah.
The guy with the huge ox was real too.
What? Paul Bunyan is fake. Blowing my mind.
Paul Bunyan, fake. Johnny Appleseed, real.
So Johnny Appleseed, the Appleseed namesake isn't actually to grow apples to eat.
Right.
They're actually to grow
apples. Nobody ate apples back in the day.
Really?
Yeah.
The variants of them, right? I mean, that it's like that. When you plant a seed, any kind of apple can come out of it. is my understanding. Oh, and so most of the app, most of the types are inedible, and so they would just convert them to alcohol.
Yeah,
is you know, and so I believe that you grow apples from grafting them.
That's
now,
that's what you're getting at, right? That really, he was
the apples that exactly because you know, growing up, you see little cartoons or hear songs, and it's like, oh, people are enjoying all these apples, like. No, he's growing them for booze. People are gonna. Yeah.
It was a hard life, Karen.
It was. Man.
We think we have it tough now, and we get drunk like constantly.
Yeah. Imagine now instead of seagulls, now we have Skittles and gummy
bears. There's a word for stealing apples from somebody's tree. I think it's called scrumping.
Are you tricking us? Is this going to be something dirty if we look it up? Scrumping. Like a Brit? Is that a British term?
I don't know, but I remember finding this word because I enjoy that word. And
you enjoy that word.
Oh, wait, no.
I wanted to mean something, and then it meant stealing apples.
It is.
There's a line in a Who song, right? Yeah. Apple scrumping, isn't there? Look up.
It means.
I swear to God.
It is a real word, and it means to steal fruit, especially apples, from a garden.
Yes. Will you? I think it's in ice. I'm going to look this up later. I think it's in the Who song, 515.
I wonder what fell out of my brain to make room for that. Good job, Brain.
Yeah, good job, Brain. Good job, Dana's Brain. All right. I think we're going to take a little break here from all the booze talk, and let's talk about something educational. Gross. Well, if you want to cram more information into your brain, sometimes you need shortcuts, and we'll show you some of the ways, our favorite ways and tips and tricks to memorize things, and a lot of them are called mnemonic devices, which are little either anagrams or abbreviations that help you remember stuff. And I know that Chris actually has a really, really good one that has saved our pub trivia team.
Yes.
Got out a couple jams.
Yeah.
More than one occasion.
Yes.
And it is?
It is. So, okay. My fifth grade teacher, fifth grade teacher for, I guess, I think it was history or something to that effect. I think it was history. She was a real B. You know what I'm saying? keeping it classy. But
that was classy.
Yeah.
The facial expression was the classiest.
And she just, I mean, she beat us out one day because she was like, how do you not know the names of the 10 Canadian provinces? Because children in Canada know the names of all 50 states. And how do you not know the names of just 10 provinces? And, I mean, thinking back, it was like, lady, first of all, I mean, I'm going to take issue with the premise of your statement that random 11-year-old from Canada can just rattle off the names of all 50 states with no prompting whatsoever.
Address your emails to Chris Cole.
Children of Canada, no cheating, send me the list. Then after she gave us all the business for it, I still never learned the names of the 10 Canadian provinces. And this question kept coming up that we just get a map of Canada and be like, name this province. And so one day, I think it was before our trivia finals, I was like, all right, I'm going to set myself to learn this. There was a mnemonic device they found that was very easy to remember, which was, Billy and Sally made our queen nervous playing near needles.
Oh, that would make me nervous.
Exactly. And you just see the queen going, oh, goodness, children, the needles.
And are these just, it's not alphabetic order, it's in actually geographical
order.
It's
in left to right order. Oh, brilliant. Now, where it all breaks down is that you still have to memorize the locations of those three ends at the end. British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, Quebec. And then I think after Quebec, it's New Brunswick. and then Prince Edward Island and Newfoundland and Nova Scotia. But of course, when we get to those ends all at the end, and they're on islands and stuff, it's hard to know where exactly they are. So you have a little bit more work to do after that, but Billy and Sally made our queen nervous playing near needles. We'll get you a good 90% of the way there.
Awesome.
That's fantastic.
Great. So hopefully Billy and Sally made our queen nervous playing near needles can save you a couple of a close emergency trivia.
Yeah.
Needs.
I think it's also good to see the queen so vested in the safety of every individual child.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially
only
Billy
and
Sally.
Oh, it's just the two of them.
Only Billy and
Sally. Yeah, well, they've got her gin.
And also, what place are they playing at where there's like a bunch of needles just like laying around?
The queen, just sitting there.
Just sitting there, not stopping. Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Well, Canada known for their fine needle production.
All right. So hope everybody enjoyed that break. Let's jump back into alcohol. Blame it on the booze, got you feeling loose.
Keep forgetting this word, so I have to glance back at this word again, make sure I get it right.
Is it beer?
The Rheinheitsgebot.
Sure.
Which of course is the old like 14th century or 16th century German beer law.
Right. The purity 16th laws.
Century. The purity laws. Right, yes. Right. Which of course said that beer could only be made up of what three ingredients?
Hops, barley, water.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Now, here's the thing. Can you make beer with just those three things?
I'm going to say no.
Why?
Yeast.
You need the yeast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they made this law saying you can only make beer with these three ingredients, not understanding or knowing that you actually also need yeast in there. So technically, making beer entirely was against that law. They just didn't understand it. Now, what they did, of course, but nobody knew what yeast was or did. All the brewers knew was that to make beer, you had to take some of the stuff from the last batch of beer and put it into the new batch.
Right.
They didn't know why, but that's what you had to do. Or you let it sit out forever.
Right.
Until it naturally ferments like that, like your
lambic
thing you don't drink. Right, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
That so, law, of course.
Now, have they since amended the law?
So they did amend the law, but then also that law is not in existence anymore, but it has been supplanted. So there is still a different beer law in that region, in Germany, and it does still prevent certain things from being sold as beer if they have things in there that aren't listed in that list of ingredients.
Wow, that's... It's weird to hear stories when people didn't really understand science back then.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to ask Colin to share a really good story related to alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, you know, jumping back into alcohol.
It's very upbeat.
Or finding ways of getting alcohol into you. And, you know, I should preface the story that this is one of those stories that I didn't want to be true. I started by going to Snopes and the skeptic sites. I really wanted this one to have been disproven, but... It was on Smoking Gun, and I actually found the original newspaper articles as well. So this is the Sherry Enema story, and Sherry Enema, not a stripper. Sherry Enema is a thing.
I think we went to high school
together.
That's my
new pseudonym.
Sherry
Enema to the main stage. Oh yeah.
No. So this a woman down in Texas. This was about 4 years ago, or no, longer than that. I guess this was 2004. And Tammy Warner, she was arrested for administering a Sherry Enema to her husband. And you know, the naturally. Yeah. But no, the backstory is that
that's love. Also,
you know, why'd she get arrested?
Poor Michael Warner, he had a really bad throat ailment and was also an alcoholic. And his way of getting around his love of drinking and inability to drink down his throat was administering Sherry Enemas. Oh. And so he and she one night apparently administered 3 liters of Sherry.
Oh.
3 liters.
So
and he... unfortunately and perhaps predictably died of alcohol poisoning. And so she was essentially arrested for homicide, for facilitating his death, you know, knowing that he was an alcoholic, knowing that he had been prohibited from drinking and assisting in administering the 3 liters. And, you know, the problem, of course, as I got digging further in the story is, you know, when you're drinking normally, when you get drunk or pass out, you stop consuming. When you're absorbing alcohol through that method, you pass out, but it continues to absorb into your system.
Especially if somebody's there continuing to pour it in.
Right.
Well, I don't think it was like an IV drip. But
I imagine a funnel. That's what I'm picturing.
Man, that's love. Mm-hmm. Imagine if he wasn't married and he's just a single dude. Like, and he would have to call up his buddies to ask them to give him a Sherry enema.
Hey, man, I need a favor. I'm not helping you move again, Michael. No, I'm not moving.
I bet he'd hook up like a beer bong type
situation. Yeah. It's like, why do you have a funnel, a length of PVC pipe, and why are your pants off? Another piece of trivia that may come up one day, the Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons song, Sherry, Won't You Come Out Tonight, was in fact referencing Sherry enema.
Oh my god.
Amazing. Amazing.
Did she go to jail for it?
No, she was she did not get charged. The charges were dismissed. Sorry, she was charged, but she was not convicted. The charges were dismissed. They essentially, you know, they found it a little just too kind of a gray area that, you know, where do you draw the, where do you draw the
it's
line?
It's actually more of a brown area.
Yeah, you know,
that seems right.
And apparently this was not the first time they had done it. So, you know, they had done it before. I'm making air quotes here, successfully. They had done it before, and so that
as if you could be really successful.
It worked, and it was worth repeating.
Yeah. That's what you know. Even if it works, you're still kind of a failure.
Well,
yes. The just the final note here. Apparently, his blood alcohol level was 0.47%, which is six times the level of being considered drunk.
Wow! Wow! Yes.
You know, it's Texas. Go big or stay home.
Stay home and give yourself a sherry enema. So this Michael from Texas was the 2007 Darwin Award winner.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Removing himself from the gene pool.
Although, according to the police, his wife was the one who removed him. But we don't need to split hairs.
She's done enough of that already.
I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean? Lovely story, Colin. And I think it's time for our next segment.
Where do you go after that?
Where do you go after that?
I should have written a segue before we started. I don't know how you transition from that.
Speaking of alcohol in your bum.
Speaking of.
Also known as enema scrumping.
To steal sherry out of someone's butthole.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm gonna poker face and I'm gonna just move on ahead. Plow through. So this is our music segment, which we're going to call the music round. And I'll be playing short clips of 5 songs for our contestants and our listeners. See if you guys can identify the artist performing the song. Could be a group or a band or a solo artist. There's also a theme that ties the clips clips together. Maybe the clues are in the artist name or in the title of the song. And since this is our first episode, I'm actually not going to go easy. I'm not going to be like, turns out all the songs have, you know, talk about the color blue or alcohol or
these
whatever.
These were Karen's favorite songs when she was 14.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it's going to be hard. So I'm going to play 5
clips.
Should we
bring a pencil and paper to these things?
Now I'm getting nervous about taking notes. Mm.
5 clips in a row, and once again, afterwards. So she can tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so ditty. She had to get a poop. She couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
Yes. Bring us a dream. Give him a pair of eyes with a come hither gleam. Give him a lonely heart like Pagliacci. And lots of wavy hair like Liberace. Mr. Sandman. So watching all the creeps.
so she can tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got socials.
Okay.
I have
Grand
no
Master
idea.
That's Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five,
whoa.
Right?
Whoa.
Yeah.
It is correct. Yeah. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, which is the group name.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Guitar Hero.
Oh,
I know that much.
That's his taxonomy, Guitar Hero or not Guitar Hero.
I'm going to guess it has to do with a number or lightning in some
or
way.
Or alliteration.
My goodness.
That's, I'm, guess, I'm making guesses on the theme. Or...
It's
Who's a bye? It's tricky.
It sounded Led Zeppelin-ish, but I don't think it's Led Zeppelin. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
It's a good guitar solo by this
band.
Is it Lynyrd Skynyrd?
No.
No.
Maybe something with numbers.
Is it the Allman Brothers?
No. Oh, I'm disappointed in you guys.
Sorry.
It's Peebo Bryson and Celine Dion.
Yes, from one of the Disney movies,
yeah,
right?
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast, right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Dana, why didn't you jump in? How did Chris get the awesome?
Because I was waiting
was
for
already,
you to stop the...
He was on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are on it. Peebo Bryson and Celine Dion
I'm gonna
are performing Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. That was my least favorite Disney movie.
You're crazy.
No. I don't like anthropomorphic animals or furniture. I don't like it.
They're the best.
Ah,
talking crabs are fine, but talking candelabras,
yeah, about,
that's where you draw the line.
What about Sebastian?
He's delightful. I don't.
He's simply delightful.
I don't want any like threats of breaking like the little teacups and clocks and things like that.
Oh, it is. It is very nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
All right, let's do our next clip.
Phoenix.
Correct. Phoenix. Song title?
What's song title?
I don't know. Listomania.
What is this pattern
I don't know.
Here?
Oh,
my goodness.
I don't know.
Grandmaster Flash. That wasn't Listomania, was it? Or
no.
That was the other. It was their other song.
All right. Last clip.
It's a dream. Give him a pair of eyes with a come.
That's Andrew Sisters, one of the sisters groups, right?
Incorrect. Well, the song name we all know.
Oh, Mr. Sandman.
Sandman.
Sure,
yes.
Sure.
All right.
Geez, who did Mr. Sandman? I don't know. Is it the Shirelles?
Your guess is always the Shirelles. It's a girl.
Yeah, but sometimes the answer is the Shirelles.
They had a few songs.
Yeah.
All right.
A couple few.
Go down the list.
Okay.
The first song was The Message by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Okay.
The second song, or second clip, is from the solo of Black Sabbath's Iron Man.
Oh, yes. Crap. Every metalhead fan out there is ashamed of us, right?
I'm not going to pretend I knew the answer.
And the third one is, of course, Beauty and the Beast by Peebo Bryson and Celine Dion.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth song is 1901 by Phoenix. And the last one, Mr. Sandman, is by The Cordettes.
The Cordettes.
Okay. I think that was probably their main hit.
I would assume so.
Yeah. It was a popular song. Yeah.
All right. What's the theme, guys? What's the theme?
Wow. The Message, Iron Man, Beauty and the Beast, 1901, Mr. Sandman, Iron Man,
Sandman, Beauty, Iron.
Are there it's true. Furious Five, 1901.
But that's only two things.
Iron Man,
Peebo Bryson, and Celine Dion, and Beauty and the Beast. I can't make that have a number in it.
Is it the artist connection? What do we got? Peebo Bryson, Celine Dion.
You were so close, Colin.
Oh.
You got Iron Man?
Iron Man, Sandman. Oh, okay.
The Message.
The Message.
By Grandmaster Flash.
Superheroes. Wow. All right, so we got Iron Man, the Flash, The Beast. Oh, I see. Okay, nice.
What was the last one?
Phoenix.
Wow.
Okay, well done. So we're mixing some Marvel and DC, but that's okay.
We are. And they're not all heroes.
Some of them are villains as well.
All right. Awesome. So that is the end of our show. We want to thank all the people who have listened to this and sat through the whole Enema story. And
That was fantastic.
You paid your money. You can't get it back.
You can't get it back.
We put Enema in your ears.
Great. So thank you, everybody. I think you guys for joining me on this podcast. Right?
Absolutely.
No problem.
Where's my money?
Let's go drink now.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, everybody.
We'll get shirty animus.